It's an amazing thing, you know, that during the course of the league matches, Dublin, as I said, were very strong and meeting very good teams like Cork and Tipperary and Kilkenny. But I said they were very strong, physically strong. As a matter of fact, if the score lines, looking over the score lines over those years, I must say there was a great emphasis on scoring goals. For what reason, I don't know. But I know that goal taking was one of the prime objectives. Even anybody taking a 21-yard free, he always went for the goal, whereas normally now they would just stick it over the bar and rarely would be going for goals. But the score lines at the time, I remember in 1946 we played Cork in a league game, and we scored 8 goals and 6 points against something like 3 goals and 8 points. So that was about the score line. But the fact was we scored 8 goals. Admittedly, I got a goal from a 21-yard free. But all the forwards were going for goals. They could never make out why there was such emphasis on goal scoring. But even looking at the other results of other matches at the time, they were all big scoring matches. And goals were the prime objective of every team going out to more or less get goals rather than the points.
Christy Ring to take it. Now will Christy try for a goal and put Cork into the battle? He tries a low hard shot and it's a goal! Yes, it's the goal for Cork and it's scored by Christy Ring. 1-9 to 1-5.
Owen Roe, it was a Dublin-based club in the sense of there were more Dublin players on the Owen Roe team, and naturally enough, it captured the imagination of all the Dublin hurling followers or football followers. They would always follow a Dublin-based team. And Owen Roe, in that sense, fitted the bill. But despite the fact that they had great teams over the years, in the 1940 series, they played 3 finals against Foggs. And because of the 3 finals, and they were beaten by narrow margins in the 3 games, the Dublin County Board awarded Owen Roe a special set of medals. But they never won the championship, and during my spell as captain of the team, we won Bowlen Cup and Senior Hurling League, but our main ambition was to win a championship, and that never happened. Until 1951, under the captaincy of Sean Cronin, Owen Roe and Vincent's qualified for the Dublin Senior Hurling Championship, which was to turn out for an amazing incident in my hurling career. And it was one of the things, 2 Dublin clubs, Vincent's were all Dublin and Owen Roe, virtually all Dublin, there was great rivalry between the 2 clubs. And when we met in a Dublin County hurling final in 1951, it made history as far as Dublin affairs was concerned. But I had an unfortunate incident just coming up to half-time in that game. And we were certainly ruling the roost. We were playing very, very well. We had taken a good lead and we were looking as if we were going to win the game very handily. But a few minutes before half-time, I chased after a ball. Paddy Donnelly got possession and I went to try and block him, but he got his drive away. And as I turned away to follow the flight of the ball, I never remembered any more until I woke up in the dressing room, attended by Dr. Joe Stewart and the John's ambulance man. And then my father, who was there, told me that I had been struck in an off-the-ball incident by Paddy Donnelly. Now, I had to go eventually to a doctor who diagnosed that I had a broken jaw. And he immediately ordered me into the Bonsecure Hospital in Glasnevin. And there, the surgeon who was treating me had to wire my teeth together because he said I had broken my jaw, but I was lucky that it was a clean break so that there was no necessity to take a sliver of bone from my ankle and put it in there. And it meant surgery on my face as well in order to do that. But he said it was lucky that it was a clean break and that that would heal. And he said, you're lucky for 2 reasons. As he told me afterwards when I asked him what was the second reason, he said that had the blow been 1/2 inch higher, it would have cut the base of my skull. And he says, had that happened years before that, it was a fatal thing. But they had the knowledge at the time a fractured skull was be able to be treated as it wasn't before that. And that was the way I ended up in hospital with my teeth wired together and lucky enough I came through it successfully. Naturally, there was a lot of condemnation in the papers regarding the incident involving myself and Paddy Donnelly, and also the quality of the match itself. One or two particular sports writers at the time gave out stink about the two teams, and that it was a regular happening between the two teams when it came to important matches. But that was an opinion that we didn't agree with. But I had a lot of visitors from the Vincent's team and the Vincent's club, including Paddy Donnelly, who arrived at my house and was very embarrassed by the whole thing, and he was very annoyed about it for the incident itself. And he was very genuine about his apology to my mother. And as events turned out, Paddy took it very, very badly, and I knew he did, because we were great friends. We played on the Dublin teams together, and we were very good friends. And it was just happened to be one incident in his lifetime and in my lifetime that we would prefer to forget about, as we did. Because afterwards, when I returned to play hurling, first time we played against Vincent, I ran out in the field, he ran over to me and shook my hands, and that was it. And then we never, and anymore, there was no animosity between us.